In the 10 verses we just read from the Gospel of St. Matthew, the Gospel writers, the angel wants and Jesus wants to say, don't be afraid. I think there's, 300 and some times in the scriptures where it says, don't be afraid. Because, I don't know about you, but I'm kind of a scaredy cat. I get afraid of a lot of stuff. I think that's kind of our normal thing. I don't know if you've ever had the experience of someone shares something with you and you say, well, if I would have gone through that, that's how I would have reacted this way. Or there's something happens and someone is paralyzed in fear and they don't react even as they thought. Maybe they had rehearsed in their head 100 times how you will react when you see that wolf spider in your basement about that big. But you don't react that way. You just freeze up. Psychologists and people that study social reactions find that people are very bad at predicting how they react to situations. You know, I look at the stories of the Last Supper. Jesus says, one of you betray me, one of you will deny me, you're all going to run away. And they go, no, Lord, we won't, absolutely not. And then when push comes to shove, they freeze up. They take off. Peter denies him, Judas betrays him. Everybody else takes to the woods, except for John. He's the only one at the foot of the cross. I don't judge them too harshly, though, because I don't know how I would react. I suspect the Lord and the gospel writers know human beings pretty well by saying, don't be afraid. You're probably familiar with the line in Scripture that God is love. Most of us have heard that. Do you know how many times that's used in Scripture? In a letter to John. But how many times are we told not to be afraid? They say it to Mary. They say it at the resurrection. They say it to Peter when the boat's sinking. They just keep on saying, don't be afraid. And what basis can we claim that as our own, recognizing there's a whole lot of stuff that frightens us? Getting old frightens me. Not having enough money frightens me. Gaining too much weight frightens me. Driving on the interstate frightens me. Coming home late to my wife frightens me. There's a lot of things that frighten me. Eternity frightens me. Looking at the constellation Orion and the Pleiades. Those are all things that are pretty scary. When you think about it, you think about mystery, you think about what we're doing here tonight, should scare the wits out of us. And what we've talked about the entire time of Lent is what gives us comfort, and that's mercy. That we are promised mercy. We're given mercy. The character of mercy is it's something that is given that is not deserved. I heard a story the other day about that exact thing, talking about Napoleon Bonaparte. Now, the story is reputed to be true, but I don't, for what it's worth, the point is well taken. There's an 18-year-old kid, and he is drafted into the armies of Napoleon. He figures out he's not much of a soldier and he doesn't like this. So he deserts. Well, he's captured. And taken back, given a speedy trial and sentenced to death. Now it just so happens that, of course, this is Napoleon's headquarters. And this young man's mother is a cook for Napoleon. And as she brings in his evening meal, she says to him, "Emperor, the young man who is sentenced to death tomorrow morning is my son. He's only 18. I ask you to have mercy on him. Have mercy on him." And the Emperor Napoleon looked at her and said, "He doesn't deserve mercy. He's a deserter. He deserves to die." And she said, "Absolutely. If he deserved it, it wouldn't be mercy. If we deserved it, it wouldn't be mercy." You know, I think about this Easter week, and many of us, in the course of the last time in Lent, either participated in or saw the presentation of his last days. I came to all four performances. I think I cried in all four performances. But what I looked at this time, really for the first time and concentrated on, was Peter and the adulterous woman and the centurion. Because the adulterous woman and Peter said, "Is that my cross he's carrying to Calvary?" And the centurion said, "I am the one. What type of man is this? I am the one who should have died." Because, you know, to give mercy is not a human characteristic. We are much more comfortable giving justice. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. That's justice. You mess up, boom, you're hammered. Mercy is not a concept we can get our heads wrapped around. And I looked at Jesus crucified and I started to think about my life. And I thought, you know, one of the nails that I drove, if I'm going to personalize this, one of the nails I drove into his hand on that cross is my pride. And the nail that I drove into the other hand was my arrogance. And the nail I drove into his feet was my self-righteousness. And the sword that I put into his side was my passion for the things of the world. And every time they strapped his back, I would do that. And Elaine told us about the corporal acts of mercy. Every time I did not feed the hungry, give drink to the thirsty, clothe the naked, welcome the stranger, visit the sick and imprisoned, or bury the dead, that was a lash to the body of Christ. Every time I ignored the spiritual works of mercy, when I didn't instruct the ignorant or comfort the doubtful, every time I refused to forgive or when I didn't pray for people that were living or dead, or when I refused to be patient with those who I felt wronged me, that was another lash. If I got what I deserved, it wouldn't be a good thing. But I'm told I get mercy. And if I, who am sinful, have been given mercy, how much more do I now need to give mercy to my brothers and sisters, to my family, to that guy who cuts me off at the stoplight, or however, the guy that today at Myers that raced in, got in the short line before me, with the big cart of stuff. kinds of things. When I refuse to be merciful, I am driving the nails again into the body of Christ. This is a year of mercy. One of the things that happened in Basilica of John, St. John Lateran in Rome, is they blessed the door of the church as a door of mercy. That's what we're going to do here tonight. When we renew our baptismal vows, Father Greg will bless that back door. And that will be a door of mercy for all of us, that whenever we come through that door, we renew our commitment to the Lord to be merciful to ourselves, to our families, to our children, our grandchildren, to the guy in Myers. We renew our call to be merciful. Because we who have obtained mercy must be merciful in return. That's the first attribute of God. That is what we are called to do, and that is the purpose of our celebration this evening, is that Jesus Christ so loved the world, that he gave his life for us.